Welcome back, 418, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, a man who probably by the end of the week won't have to work anymore because everything is going to collapse. Dave Boyer joins me, Washington Times White House reporter. Hello, Dave.
Hello, Andy. Are you telling me I'm going to be furloughed?
No, I'm just saying that there will be no need for you any longer because the whole world is going to collapse, according to Barack Obama and the Obama administration, as a result of sequestration.
The sky is falling.
Yeah.
Falling fast.
All right. A couple things I want to talk to you about. First of all, before I dive into what the president was doing today, you had a story about this whole flap over whether or not Obama was giving special treatment to those who committed big sums. I mean, $500,000 to Organizing for America. It used to be Obama for America Group. And I got to tell you, I heard Jay Carney, like, bugged out of the room right after the question yesterday. That had to be fun to watch.
He did kind of do a sidestep and get the heck out of that briefing room when that question came up. Yeah, the story is that over the weekend, the New York Times reported that this new advocacy group called Organizing for Action, which is really just a reincarnation of President Obama's campaign organization, is taking $500,000 donations or higher for people who want to be on the group's national advisory board, and as such, that would qualify them for quarterly meetings with the president and other meetings with White House officials. And yesterday, Jay Carney, the president's spokesman, said that's not true. This money does not entitle these people, these wealthy donors, to access to the president. In which case, I'm thinking that a lot of these wealthy donors are saying to themselves, oh, yeah, well, then what am I ponying up the money for? So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
All right. So how much reportedly was needed to have a meeting with him? A 500 grand would get you in the door to actually see the president? Is that the report?
Yeah. Do you think you and I should just pool our resources and try and get on that?
We couldn't get together $100 for a Christmas card from him, probably.
Probably not.
Were there other levels, though? I mean, you know, were there other dollar amounts? Do you know anything else about it?
That's not clear, no. We know pretty much about this organization. It was created by people like Jim Messina, who was the president's campaign manager last year. John Carson is now the executive director. He was under in the White House as the director of the president's office of public engagement. They have many various officials who are now working for this advocacy group. It's a tax exempt group that were hand in glove working on the president's campaign last year. So they're out there to raise money and build grassroots support around the country for things that the president wants to get done in his second term, like gun control, like immigration with a pathway to citizenship, global warming, attacking global warming. They're going to be building support for those kinds of issues, and they're already running ads in the past week or so attacking a dozen or so Republican lawmakers around the country who are opposed to universal background checks for, people who buy guns, for example.
Yeah. All right, and then also yesterday, the White House increased the terror threat level and talked about weakened border security if the sequester goes into effect on Friday. That's a little over the top, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was a really shifty move. You know, they brought out Janet Napolitano, the Homeland Security Secretary, who said, if these sequester cuts go through on Friday, in other words, if the Republicans won't agree to raise taxes by Friday, our borders are going to be less secure. We're not going to be able to prevent illegals from entering the country. Goodness knows we might not be able to prevent terrorists from entering the country. And then there's all these, other gloom and doom scenarios like, the port inspections will take a lot longer and that'll hurt the economy. And if you're going to an airport to catch a flight somewhere, you might have to wait for 4 or 5 hours instead of the usual 2 hours. It's a scare tactic, definitely.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but Stephen Dynan posted a story a little while ago that evidently we're already allowing illegals that are being detained to leave because of this sequestration or the likelihood
right.
of it?
Right. We're not even waiting for the budget cuts to start taking effect on Friday. The Homeland Security Department is already releasing people, illegal immigrants who were being held in detention centers. Congress has mandated that there be at least 34,000 beds in these detention centers to hold illegal immigrants when they're caught. And now the Department of Homeland Security is saying, well, we don't have the money to watch all those beds or monitor those beds, and so they're already releasing.
And we were told that the illegals were lining up to flood the borders once this actually takes place on Friday.
I don't know, how they know that, but we'll see. I think it takes a little bit longer to, get here from parts unknown than just a few days. But
hey, I'm just curious. They've already taken steps to allow the detainees to leave. Have they also contacted terrorist organizations to tell them now, go ahead and get ready?
I don't think so. I don't think they need to do that. Everybody knows Al-Qaeda is monitoring our airwaves every day anyway. So, sort of like a... but they're certainly, waving this flag out there that, hey, we're not going to be as vigilant as we used to be. And obviously it's directed at Congress. It's not directed at terrorists. And one would hope that the level of vigilance is still going to be the same as far as inspecting container ships and things like that. But,
I got to tell you, this whole, last week or so, it's been crazy. It's borderline ridiculous. And it's just a big game they're playing. And, one side of me says it's an embarrassment. I mean, outsiders looking in just have to be shaking their heads and laughing at this country. All right, President was in Newport News today. What, campaign rally?
Right. No, Andy, please, come on. He was building grassroots support for his agenda.
Oh, he was?
That's the White House. That's the way the White House would tell you. He went to a shipyard in Newport News where, there's hundreds of workers on the job, and their jobs could be affected or, they could be furloughed if these budget cuts go through and certain maintenance jobs aren't on ships, Navy ships aren't carried out right away. And so he was putting pressure on Republicans again in Congress to, look that these are all the jobs that will be lost if you don't agree to my way of doing things. And, the White House put out numbers that 90,000 civilian Pentagon employees in Virginia alone would be furloughed if these cuts go through. And so he was out there, really trying to, in a campaign style thing with the big flag hanging behind them and, giving a speech, trying to, put this pressure on the congressional Republicans. And then he said, I'm not interested in spin and I'm not interested in playing the blame game here. All I'm interested in is solving problems. He really has it down very well how he can say one thing on the one hand and one thing on the other hand.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's a master at it. He really is. He can stand there and look you right in the eyes and smile and lie to you, and the next day you've got a soundbite that is to the contrary.
He also said today, believe it or not, that as he's gone on in office, he's become more humble.
Yeah. Oh God, I laughed. I played that a little while ago. Hang on a second. Let me see if I can find that, because I actually stopped the soundbite. I was laughing so hard. Check this out. Check this out, folks. You'll love this.
In order for us to make that happen, I'm going to need you. The one thing about being president is, after 4 years, you get pretty humble. You think maybe you wouldn't, but actually you become more humble. You realize what you don't know. You realize, all the mistakes you make.
Oh, man.
And let me just ask you one question.
Yeah.
Do people who are truly humble point out that they are humble?
Of course not.
Thank you.
God, I tell you, you can't make this stuff up, Dave. I'm telling you. It's just,
don't have to. It's right in front of us.
No kidding. No kidding. It really is. All right, so now what's the schedule for the rest of the week? Do we know?
As far as we know, the president has meetings at the White House Wednesday and Thursday, and, Friday's, we'll see. Well, that's the doomsday scenario, and hopefully we'll get the two sides together talking before Friday, but at this point there are no announced plans to have the president meeting with John Boehner or Mitch McConnell or anybody.
Hmm. All right, we'll keep an eye on it. Hey, thanks for the entertainment today. It was very nice.
All right, Andy, thanks.
See you later. Dave Boyer, Washington Times White House reporter. It's 4:28, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.